do what you wanted to do, and you just say that was
I want to call your attention to an article here that I read, an essay. And I'll. It's one page. It should say six on top. Mm-hmm. You didn't get one?
Oh, I was gonna
okay, fine. All right. Now, this essay is authored by a dayan in a very important bezdin. It's the bezdin of Rav Nissen Karelitz. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's really one of the outstanding gdolim of our generation. And the author of the Emek HaMishpat is Rav Yaakov Cohen. And he has an essay which addresses a problem, an issue, which I think is quite common today. And what you have here is, let's call it Reuven and Shimon. Reuven owns a chatzer, and Shimon, who lives in the adjacent building, wants to build out a porch that will extend over the airspace of Reuven's chatzer. So that's what he calls a b'niyat mirpeset me'al avir shechino. Now, the principle that we're going to see here that comes to the fore is called ze nene v'ze lo chaser, which means that Shimon could benefit by extending a porch without any loss to Reuven. Reuven, although he owns the airspace, loses absolutely nothing. Again, in this particular scenario, there are many different scenarios, obviously, but in this particular scenario, he loses nothing as a result of Shimon building out a porch. And we're going to see that this issue can reflect itself in many different scenarios. For example, there's a famous case of a group of people that were on a tiyul, and they ended up in Yerushalayim, and they had meant to stay at a hotel elsewhere, but they got stuck, and this hotel was, the reception was closed already. Now, in many hotels, the reception is 24/7, but in this particular scenario, there was no one there to accept them into the hotel. And as it turns out, one of the members of the group went up to the top floor of this hotel, and he found, again, it's a strange set of circumstances, but it happened, there were no rooms occupied on the top floor of the hotel. And the entire entourage decided that they're packing into the hotel. They had their own linens, which is an interesting phenomenon. So they didn't use anything from the hotel other than the beds, which, again, that's the main thing that you use a hotel for, right? And the issue that was raised, and it actually came to a Beis Din, was whether they have to pay for the night's lodging in a hotel, since the reception was closed, there was no way that anyone was going to check in at that point, so it was no loss to the owner of the hotel. And a similar shaila came up with regard to public transportation. This was the case of a Baal Tshuva who admitted that before he became frum, he used to bum rides, you know, on public transportation without paying for them. And he raised the question after he became religious whether or not he has to pay for all these rides that he took. In any event, a lot of these issues come up with regard to shechenim, with regard to neighbors. And let's say you could, one scenario that's quite common is where you have many apartments in a building, and the chatzer, or the gina, as they call it, the garden, is commonly owned by all of them, and no one seems to be using that garden space. Can one person take advantage of it, expand one of his rooms into the garden space at no loss to anyone else, or does he have to get permission to do so?
When you say at no loss, you mean like at no right now loss?
Right, no financial loss, because as a matter of fact, none of the partners in this gina were intending to take advantage of the gina. Mm. And one of them decided that it would be a great advantage for him to expand the room. And he also has rights to this gina, but you know, other people as well have rights.
I'm also having difficulty with that idea, because by one of the neighbors expanding over that airspace limits the future use of that gina. You can't,
right?
If you want to plant something there, well, it's not going to get as much rain now because
of something. Oh, excellent. Okay. So the question that's being raised here in this Emek HaMishpat revolves around the following situation. And that is that by building out a ziz, in this case, a ziz is sort of like an expansion of a sort, it's not a merpeset in this case, over the airspace of the owner of the chatzer below, there will be something called hezek re'ia, which means that by extending yourself out over the airspace of the chatzer, the Baal HaChatzer claims that he is being damaged because his loss of privacy. And this is a sugya in Baba Basra on Daf Nun Tes, and the Gemara establishes Haziz ala Tefach, that when he moves his ziz and extends it by one Tefach, which is not a large Shetach, Yochol Limchos, the Baal HaChatzer below, is allowed to make a Mecha.
Wow.
And the Rashbam interprets, you know, there's no Rashi at that point in Bava Basra. Klomar Habola Hotzi Ziz Tefach B'tchil L'Chatzer Chaver Yochol Limchos Baal HaChatzer. The Baal HaChatzer can block him. Shlo Lemalos Avir Chatzero. And by doing so, the neighbor, by extending his ziz, will be blocking the avir of the chotzer. Says the Rashbam, v'lo amrinon, the chiddush here of this gemara is that we don't say the counter argument. What's the counter argument? Zenene v'zelo chaser. So that's a sugya in Bava Kama, a very famous sugya, where Reuven lives in the chotzer of Shimon without rishus, and Shimon had no intention, and possibly wasn't even able, to rent out his chotzer. Mm. So Reuven benefits that he doesn't have to rent out another chotzer, another dira, but Shimon doesn't lose anything. So zeh nene v'zeh lo chotzer.
What does that mean, doesn't have to rent out?
Let's say he cannot rent it out.
Oh,
there
he
can't. No, right? He doesn't have enough facilities, there are no renters, whatever the case may be. Right.
Mm.
In such a case, the Gemara in Bava Kama establishes, and I have a copy of the Gemara, maybe we'll get a chance to look at it, that according to at least one school of thought in the Gemara Bava Kama, Zenene Vizelo Choser is Kofen al Midas Sdom. That's the connection to our parasha. Because the Midas of Sdom is Zeshali, Vizeshalcha, Shalishali, Shalchashalcha. I'm not going to share anything that I have with you. I don't want you to have any benefits from it. And according to many Rishonim, that was the Takonis Chachomim of Kofen al Midas Sdom. And if it's Zeh Nene V'zeh Lo Chaser, the Nene could force the Baal HaChatzer through the Midas of Sdom to allow him to enjoy the benefit of Ploni's Chatzer, since it's Lo Chaser. He's not losing anything by it. Says the Rashbam, what about this Gemara in Baba Basra? And nobody blinks about it, nobody questions the premise that he cannot extend his ziz over the air of the Baal HaChatzer. Why not say the principle of Zenen Ezelo Chaser? So the Rashbam offers the answer, Devadai Ika Chisaron. In this case, there's definitely a loss. Why? Demigu the Mishtamish Baal Hagag Baziz, when the person who has the apartment that's up on top extends over the airspace of his friend below, Roe Bechatzar, he now sees what goes on in the Chatzar, invades his privacy, V'ika Hezek Ria, and that's called a Chisaron when you invade my privacy. V'chein Nifsak B'turu B'Shulchan Aruch, that's how we pass it.
I would say,
a simpler answer. There's a big difference between a person that's coming in and kind of like, he's just there for a night or a week or wherever, and he's stealing rent, so to speak, to making a permanent structure, even a small permanent structure.
So I mean, because it's long-lasting.
Yeah, yes. If I have a field in the middle of nowhere, I'm not really using it. I planned maybe 10, 20 years to build something, and someone comes and builds a house, I'm going to object. Someone was sleeping in the field, what do I care?
So the Emek HaMishpat really comes to the opposite conclusion, Jonathan. Look at the way his perspective on this. He looks at the Rashbam, he looks at the Shulchan Aruch, and he says the following: Kadme Daikinon B'Divrei Rashbam. When you really are meticulous about reading the words of Rashbam, near it would appear. Dechol Asiba Shemalachotz Yochel Limchos. What is the basis for the claim of the owner of the chotz that you have no right to extend from your gag this ziz over my airspace? Avmishum Dika Hezek Riya. The Rashbam only identifies Hezek Riya, and therefore the Rashbam takes the next step and says, "Harezeh chaser." It's your nene, but he's chaser because he's going to suffer your invasion of privacy. Avol, right? Mashma, I would say, ilav hachi. If it wasn't a problem of hezek riyah, kigon, for example, be open. Dibalav hachi yochel liros es balachotzer. Let's say, for example, the entire space above the chotzer is exposed to the balagah. You know, there were no windows, there were no walls, or so forth and so on. He says, but often in such a case, right? Oz shuv havi ze nene veze eino chaser. It would go back to the original principle. Vekofen osal midas dom v'yochel bal hagag lahotzi ziz. So again, Rabbi said, we're only up to the first paragraph of this long essay, but if you take a breath, if you take a pause here, he would seem to have derived a very interesting conclusion that to the same extent that when I live in your chotzer and you have no possibility of renting the chotzer, again, I'm going to say it in the most extreme way, there are many different variations. So the law is kofen al midas dom. Why do you have a right to object if you don't lose anything, so I can benefit from your possessions? Here too, let me benefit from the airspace if you suffer no loss. Meaning, if there's hezek riyah, nicha, then it's zenan v'zeh chaser, there's nothing to talk about. But if there's no loss because the hezek riyah is not generated by this ziz that he wants to extend, and this is going to be fascinating for the case of a merpeset, and I'm telling you, I'm both saying these questions come up all the time, then we should be able to apply the principle of kofin al midas stone. That's paragraph number one.
I don't understand the derivation that he arrives at in paragraph one, because I was understanding that the ziz is hezek riyah. Even if you could see the entire chutzner from beforehand, and now you're only extending it one tefach, so it's not like you're seeing more of this chutzner.
Right.
But the Baal chutzner now sees the ziz, which wasn't there before.
You're saying like and so now obstructs the view?
No, it's not about obstruction of the view. It's I now feel more like I have an invasion of privacy.
Okay.
Because I see the ziz sticking in.
But again, you have to admit one thing, that the Rashbam as a kasha, and he never undermines the premise of his kasha. The Rashbam is asking, how do I reconcile this Gemara in Bava Basra with the principle of Kofen al Midas Dom? And he says, well, you should know here it's Zeh Nenev Zeh Chaser. Whatever the Chisaron is.
I'm agreeing with that approach. I'm just saying that it would never happen that if you can see the whole Chaser from beforehand, then you should be allowed to. No, I would say you're still not allowed to because there's still an invasion of privacy.
Okay, so again, so that's an issue in hezek riyah. Our subject for today is not hezek riyah. Again, Valine Netter, if you ask me, impress me on it, we can learn hezek riyah. That's a very, very long and complicated sugya. What constitutes hezek riyah? The principle that I want to derive from this is that if the halacha does not recognize hezek riyah in a particular circumstance, again, for that we have to learn all the details of hezek riyah, then we go back to square one And the principle in halacha is kofen al midas don.
Is that
in the first paragraph? Again, you're gonna have to you have to be very, you know, patient here, because there's gonna a lot more down the line here. You know, we're not at all ready to draw any conclusions here. But assuming that, you know, again, we've solved the problem of hezekriah, which has to be addressed, then if you have no loss, I can enjoy the benefit of your possessions, in effect, of your property, because you own the airspace, and I can even force you and compel you halachically because of this mid of stone that we're trying to undermine. You know, it's one thing to say to a person, look, give tzedakah to someone. So he'll decide, you know, he'll give tzedakah, he won't give tzedakah. You could talk to a person about the mitzvah of chesed, achnas sarchim, hakdeshos, nedarim, anything that asks chisaron kis. And if he steps up to the plate, as we say, he'll be mekayim that mitzvah. But here we're going much further than that. Again, in the first paragraph, we're saying that I can enjoy your possessions, I can stick my hand into your pocket if you suffer no loss. Again, in the halacha is going to try to create such a situation. But now, Rabbos, if you give me 5 minutes, let's go back to the original source of this Rashbam. Where does he get this from? So if you'll see in the second paragraph, it's a sugyan bava kama, and the Gemara describes the following situation. Chatzah delo kaima li agra. There's a chatzah that's not rentable, or at least for whatever reason, the owner of the chatzah is not going to rent his thing. The gavra di ovid lemega, but a person who, I'm going to use the word squat, I mean, are you familiar with that word? The squatter has no intention or no possibility of paying rent. Okay? So that's, oh, I'm sorry, my mistake. That's called zenene v'zelochos. I'm sorry, that's zelonene v'zelochos. Okay, we're talking about zenene. So zenene means that the squatter would have paid rent elsewhere. Okay, dar v'chatzer, and he packs into the chatzer, right? He sets up his domicile there. So the Gemara says, eino tzarch l'shalim schar. The owner of the chatzer cannot bill him for rental. Why? Dizenene vizelo chaser. Okay. So Tosfos
flies in the face of trespassing
law. Okay. So okay, wait, you gotta give it another few minutes. I really beg you, because we're gonna talk about trespassing. Tosfos asks the following question. The Gemara elsewhere, this is another sugya in Bava Basra, not the sugya on Nun Tes, but a sugya on Yud Beis, has the principle of kofin al midas dom in a different context. And that is that if you have a bechor who gets a double portion, he has a right to force the other brothers to give him both his portions contiguously. That's called a bar metzra, because he benefits from that, and the fact that he can do his charisha contiguously, he doesn't have to move the equipment of his farming from the north to the south. So Tosus wants to know, he says, afilu leman diomar kofin oso al midas dom. He says, Tosfos says that if the Bechor could force the other brothers to forfeit that particular sliver of plantation because he the Bechor, will benefit from it, they suffer no loss because they're going to get a different slice of land on a different side, north, west, east, that's worth the same amount, market value. However, he says, the case where someone packs into someone else's chatzer, shiny hacha, shahayachal limono mitchila lader bebeso. The owner of the chatzer, the owner of the dira, has rights to block, to prevent this other fellow from moving into his dira. Vahainu, again, we're going back to the Emek HaMishpat, but let's see what he derives from Tosfos. The chol adin de kofin al midas dom lo nemar el li achar shekvar darsham. The issue is the following. Reuven packed into Shimon's chatzer. Shimon was out in the Far East. You know, he comes back from a trip after a year or two and he says to Reuven, you got to pay me rental fee. You've been living on my land for 2 years. Says Tosus, in that context, there's a principle called Kofin al Midas Dom. Hey, look, Mr. Shimon, you had no intention of renting out that field. The Oz Kshabalabais Tover Mimenu Mamon, when the Balabais demands payment for rental over the last year or two, I call it retroactively, whatever it is, Amrina, we apply the principle of Zenene, Vizelo Choser. You didn't lose anything, so why couldn't he benefit from your Nechasim? Vekofen Osal Midas Dom. But one thing is clear. If Reuven now wants to pack into Shimon's chatzer or his dira, yachol balabais limchos bo vilimono shelo yikones lodur bebeso. The owner of the dira has rights to block the other guy from coming in and squatting in his land. V'lo'amrinin, we don't say kofin al midas dom v'tzarech biur. So again, what he's saying is the following. What's the difference now between the case of Ziz? There we established that if there would not be Hezek Riyah, meaning if the owner of the Chatzah loses nothing, then the Bala Ziz, according to the Rashbam, is allowed to extend his Ziz over the Chatzah of the Bala Chatzah, applying the principle of Zenen of Zelo Chatzah. Even though he's doing it l'chatchila. Whereas Tosus in Bava Kama comes to the conclusion that the only time that we apply the principle of kofin al midas dom is post facto, b'dieved, when the reality was already established on the ground, and the issue is whether or not the Bala Chotza could force him to pay. And he goes on now and he quotes the Mardechai in Bava Kama, who quotes in turn the Avi Ezri, who says shamati demotzi lemichve, that this principle of kofinos al midas dom applies even lechatchila. But yesh mefarshim, but even though lechatchila I can force you to allow me to live in your chatzir, ela kagon, and this is in the second column, de iavi boilav ruche bar milsa, if there's a possibility of renting this field or this apartment on the market. But if it's lo matzi larvuche, then kaifinen le. So again, he says there are two scenarios. This is not the same discussion as what we saw in Tosfos Bava Kama. Here in the Mordechai's frame of reference, the issue hinges on the following question. Can the Bala Chotzer find a renter? Let's say it's in such horrible state that lo motzi larvuchi, no matter what he does, even if he publicizes it in every last rag, he cannot find a renter. Aval hecha de'iboy bala chotze lagure, if the owner of the chotze could have rented it out, v'havi mirvach, and he would have made this profit, hashtanami kilo mogule, even though for whatever reason he decided right now it's not worth his headache or whatever it might be, he is not renting it. In such a case, lo kaifinan le. V'kach pirish ri. And so the ri, quoted by the Mardechai, agrees to the psak of the Avi Ezri that if the Bala Chotza could have rented it out, then ein kofinon, we don't force him to allow Shimon to go squat in his field. Ach im avar v'nene, ein tzarch lahal lo schar. So let's see the way the Emek HaMishpat summarizes the Mardechai. He says, Bir advarm, delshitas hafi ezri, bechol ofen zenene vezelo chasa kofen al midas stom, hafi l'chatchila. In other words, the owner of the chasa cannot block the nene from packing into his chaser and living there. V'hainu she'ein ba'al ba'is yochel limnoa chaveru she'ikonis logur bebeis obachino bi'ofen she'ein ha'ba'is ofen laskar, but with one proviso, namely that there's no way, no how, that the owner of the chatzah could find a renter. On the mayesh mefarshim sviil the dafka ba'ofen she'ein ba'al chatzah yochel laskiro klal, If the Baal HaChatzar could not find one person who would rent it, then kaifinen le'afil l'chatchila, aval bi'ofen she'im ha'yarotzeh, had he decided to rent it out, ha'yachol arviach, he would have gained the benefit of rental fees. El Sheino wrote, so for whatever reason he decides not to. So let me just summarize here. We have a fundamental machlokes between Tosfos and the Mordechai. Again, the Mordechai in the name of the Aviezer. According to Tosfos, there's no way, no how, that you could kaifinenle, you could apply the principle of kofen al mita stom to force the hands of the Baal HaChatzar to allow someone, against his will, to live in the Chatzar. The only issue of kaifinen al mita stom is post facto, if the Baal HaChatzar comes back from his trip from the Far East and he says to the squatter, you got to pay me for the last 2 years. Then, if we could determine that the Baal HaChatzar had no intention of renting it, and that's easy in the case where he went out to the Far East, then he cannot claim the payment for the rental. But again, I have to reemphasize for my own self that according to the sheet of Tosfos, there's no way that you could force the hand under any circumstances of the Baal HaChatzar to allow this squatter into his chatzar. He has the right to object. And if that is not whether he could have rented it or he couldn't rent it, he did intend to rent, he didn't intend to rent. That's the absolute rule. Kaifinen al mita stom only applies post facto in terms of the collection of rental fees, limafreya, the way I wanted to say it. Masha enkein according to the Muki Yosef, kofen al mita stom means that we can force, the Mordechai, kofen al mita stom means that even lechatchila, under certain conditions, with certain proviso, we can force the hands of the Baal HaChatzar, even when he objects to the squatter moving into his chatzar, to allow the squatter to move in. That the proviso that has to be fulfilled here is that the apartment, the chatzar, could not possibly be rented at any profit. So now, in the next paragraph, he quotes the Muki Yosef in the name of the Ra'ah, and I'm trying to move at the speed of light within the time that we have, who says the Afal Gav de Kaimel and Bialma de Zen Enevenos Chos Vezenim Choser Kofenos Almidas Stone Hani Mili Bekarka Shal Shnehem She'ein Mishtamish Bishalo Klal. If you have a joint ownership over a piece of land, of real estate, and one of the two partners decides that he wants to use it, the other partner has no use for that karka, Yochel lachufo mivita stom. We can force him to allow the other shutaf to enjoy the benefits of the karka. Ukigon habone. Let's say a person builds something within his own dalaramos, meaning his own real estate that he owns. Keneged chalono shel chavero, and it's going to block the air of the window of his friend. So you have two apartments that are zek keneged zeh, and one of them has a chalon, the other one wants to build within his own possessions, mm-hmm. right, his own real estate. He wants to build a chalon that'll knock off his friend's chalon. He wants to build a wall, whatever it is. Is bala chalon ma'akev alav shalo listam ora shalo. The owner of the next apartment, right, can block him and say, you're knocking off my aura. V'Allah wrote to Lassos Chalonos b'makom acher. But if the person who wants to build this wall says to him, you know what, I'm going to make you a window on the other side, Shalo Yafsid mina aura klal, that he won't lose any of the light coming in. Kigon zeh, says the Muki Yosef, the name of the Ra'ah, I'm reading Kaifinon. But to go into his friend's chatzer, klalo amru. We never said that we can force him to allow someone against his will to go into his chatzer. Now it comes out that the Ra'ah fundamentally belongs to the Tosfos' school of thought that you cannot use kofenos al mita stom to force a person to allow someone else to enter into your chatzer, but if he's building within his own chatzer, according to the Ra'ah, and he can guarantee that the next guy, his neighbor is losing absolutely nothing. Again, if there's an Ora problem, he has to solve that problem. Then Kofen Almida Stone. Whereas according to Tosfos, the case of Kofen Almida Stone is where post facto, he's already moved into his apartment. And now the owner of the apartment comes back and says, well, unbeknown to me, you've been living in my apartment, I want you to pay rent. Here we can apply the principle of Kofen Almida Stone and undermine the right of the Baal Chatzon to collect rental fee. Then we have the Mordechai Shita, which is the most extreme Shita, posited against both the Tosfos and the Ra'ah. And according to the Mordechai, if he has no way of renting this apartment, we can force him to allow someone to move into his apartment against his will. If you're going in and taking away his possessions, you're violating his privacy rights or his ownership rights, you're trespassing, like to use your term, even if the owner of the apartment has no loss, he's not using something that belongs to someone else, so he's not invading into his private land, his private property. He's blocking his light by putting up his wall or whatever he's putting up. Then if he can guarantee him that the air will come from somewhere else, then Kofen al Midas Tom al Kishabolish Tamish Benichse Chavero and Kofen.
I find that a bigger fetish. That I can build in my area, and if it's going to block off my neighbor's window, I can force him to allow me to build him a window on the other side of the apartment. What?
Well, and again, I don't know where the window is. We didn't get into that. You know that.
That's the way.
But in any event, I could guarantee him that he won't have any loss of aura. Just again, in conceptual terms. So how do we paskin in this whole mess? Because if you remember, this Emek HaMishpat essay that we're studying today addresses the question of building a porch over the airspace of his neighbor, and his neighbor will lose nothing by it. How do we paskin halacha l'maisa? He says the following. It would seem that this is a machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat. The Machaber seems to accept the shita of Tosfos and the Ra'ah. The Ramah, on the other hand, seems to accept the shita of the Mordechai. He says the following in the next paragraph: "Hine lechori kemen sharamah pasak kishita hayesh mefarshim Mordechai biofen she'eno yochel larviach." Okay, so again, assuming we always have to come back to the conditions, but if this condition can be met, and the owner of the chotzer, that's the Shachin who wants to object, would have no possibility of gaining any money over here. He has no rental possibilities. He says, Kofen al Salmida Storm af lechatchila, even to put out this porch lechatchila, is hu adin benido didan, according to the Ramah, sherotza lehotzi mirpeset mi'al chotzer chavero, delechor v'geder chotzer sheni yochel arviach. Again, if you assume that he couldn't have had any financial benefits from this chotzer, harela motzei mepesi yesh kvar chalonos al migrash zeh, and the one who wants to extend his porch already has windows that look over this migrash, and therefore there's no issue of hezek ri'ah. Again, we have to learn the sugya of hezek ri'ah. Not only that, ain bala migrash yachol livno sham, because if he wants to build and block the chalonos of the one who's building out his, who wants to build the mirpesed, he himself has a din of harchaka, and therefore within that period, with that section of the migrash, he has no possibility of renting.
Harchaka is now another X meters.
Right. So the mirpesed is within that X meters.
No, but I'm saying, like, let's say the rule is that you can't build something like right at the person's window. It needs to be three meters away.
Right.
Now he builds a mirpesed a meter out. That means now you have to be 4 meters
away. Oh, that I don't know. I don't think he's losing. That would be l'chaser. Okay, so again, we're going into many different issues, but im kenare eina yochel arviach me'avish al shetach zeh kemen she'eina yochel livno shem kahai gavno l'shitas yesh rov shem Mordechai, which is codified by the Ramah, kofen al midas stom, is af l'chatchila So again, I don't know which side you're on. Personally, I'm on the side of the guy that invests it. Yeah, I think you guys are on the other side.
I'm totally on the other side. It's insane. Like, if I own land, and a person's going, I'm building on my land, and he's like, what do you mean? It doesn't bother you.
You're not using it.
And then I'll go to court. I need to justify to the court how he's hurting me. He's on my land.
I just want to show you the last paragraph. Lidina. So how do we paskil halacha l'maisa? I mean, here's the Emek Mishpat. He sits on a bezdin of great significance, and he has to paskin for this merpeset. So at this point, you know, you think as an Ashkenazi, for sure, he can paskin like the Rama. He says ledina kvar kosav sham beno David lehedja the divrei harama kaimi rak l'shitas Rashi v'Rambam. Okay, that's a sugya unto itself, which I didn't even research at this point. Is not only that, in other words, the Rama himself is accepting one shita in the Rishonim. Is Yochal Hamuchsak Lomar, the owner of the dira, you know, of the migrash, as we said, he's Muchsak. The Yochal Lomar Kimli Keshitas Harosh Udeime, and therefore B'chol Gavni Ein Kofino Solach Atchila. So again, this is very complicated, but suffice it to say that when there's a machlokas haposkim in Choshen Mishpat, that we don't know what the final bottom rule is, then the law is hamotzi mechavel of a riot. The owner of the merpeset says, well, I know that we paskel like the Ramah, and if I have rights to build my merpeset, but the owner of the migrash has a counter argument that I know we don't accept this Ramah. And since the owner of the migrash right now is muchzak, whereas the one who wants to build a merpeset wants to utilize the principle of kofino salvita stone, we can force your hand because we paskin like the Mordechai based on this Ramah. At the end of the day, he loses his court case. Why? Because he cannot establish beyond the shadow of a doubt against the muchzak his rights to extend into the property of the Bala Migrash. But Rabosa, again, keep in mind that if we go back to the Ra'ah, if it would be a situation in which the Baal HaMirpeset would remain within his Dalet Amos, as I called them, Ella, what the Baal HaChatzer is claiming that you're blocking my light, or something along that line, then the one who has the Yodo Ala Tachton, I mean the lower position, the weaker position, is now going to be the Baal HaChatz or the Baal HaMigrash, because he's going to now have to prove that what the Baal HaMirpeset is doing in his own real estate is having a negative effect. And that goes through, again, all the laws of Hezekriah and whatever it might be, and Chalonos, and you're blocking out my airspace, and so forth and so on. So that's something that I wanted to share with you.
Even where the Baal HaMirpeset was going out into the Baal HaChatzer's airspace,
yeah,
it sounded like from the final psalm that if the Baal HaMirpeset actually went ahead and built it, and now it's built, that now he's the Mochzik. And therefore... Oh.
Well, so, also, but if he has a definite claim of loss, he just says, look, I was planning on making a sukkah in the whole area. Done. At definite loss.
Okay, but again, that has to be proven in court, but you're asking another question. Now, I can't charge... Let's say you rented out that airspace on top of your merpeset or something like that. I can't charge you retroactively... Well, this is the case where merpeset goes into his chatzah, right?
Yeah.
I can't charge you retroactively for those fees because it's zenen v'zelo chaser, and therefore kofen al mita stone. But what I could do is I can block you from henceforth from using the merpeset.
Well, yeah, just like if you came back from your house and someone's living in your courtyard, and you said, I want you out of here, I want you to pay rent for the last 2 years. So you may have got the rent for the last 2 years.
Correct.
You could definitely kick him out.
Correct. That's the bottom line of this whole discussion.
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand.
That even though the Mordechai is going a step further and saying, again, this is the most, I call it socialism almost. You know, what you're seeing here in Kofen al Mita Stom is fascinating in my mind. Again, this is just Berzon, so take it with a grain of salt. Everything that we've done until now is this Rav Cohen, but now it's Burr's I'm talking. I think the halacha is kind of juggling between capitalism and socialism here. The Kofin al Midas Tom is a kind of socialistic approach, unless you whittle it down, which says, according to the Mardukhai at least, that we can force you to allow someone to live in your house if you're not losing anything by it, and you have no ability in law to object against that. Because your attitude of shali shali has to be undermined by the law itself. I mean, that's, in my mind, that's pretty way out. In fact, we don't paskin like the Mardukhai, even though the Ramah does. But you see, lahaloch, it's not gonna really cut ice. We're gonna go with the approach of Tosfos and the Ra'ah, who say that lechatchila you don't have that socialism to penetrate into someone else's private possessions through Kofin al Midas Tov and force his hand to allow you to come in. However, okay, now we have a different issue. You want to charge him for something that you didn't take any loss for, you wouldn't have rented it, you didn't lose this, you didn't lose that. That's already Kofin al Midas Tov, but that's a lowercase Kofin al Midas Tov. And in the next page, which we don't have time to do now, the Emek HaMishpat, the same author, tries to explain what's the difference between Lechatchila and B'dievet, according to the Sheet of Tosfos and the Ra'ah. And he quotes Rav Shimon Shkop, who says in his Chidushim Bava Kama, Lechatchila Leka Kfiyo, what happened to Kofin al Midas Tov? Mishum Dim Yachufu, if we force him, Notlim Mimenu Shlitas Beso. Fascinating concept. This is almost a philosophical idea in Hilchus capitalism. We are taking away from a person who possesses a piece of real estate his shlita over his house.
And that's a hazard.
Valzei says, Kapid Rov Inshi, most people want to know who's coming in and who's going out of the house. Velochashiv Midastom, Bedover Shekapti Rov Inshi. And basically, the Emek HaMishpat builds on, you know, he really stands on the shoulders of Rav Shimon Shkop. He extends it very far, like the Rebbe, like we spoke about. And he wants to say that if you steal from a person his shlita, and you are therefore impinging on his ba'alut, he says, Eilecha chaser gadol vizeh. The whole principle of Kofin al Midas Tov is because zeh neneh vizeh lo chaser. He says, that is the greatest chisaron. A person wants to feel, this is my possession. I don't want anyone coming in here unless I allow him in. Eilecha chaser gadol vizeh. Shemachasrinan anu eshlitasu ba'aluso vizehu bir shitas ara'ah. You can force a person to drop his claim against somebody for rental fees. However, to force a person to allow others to use his chatzer, bal korcho, against his will, that we can't do. That would be a zenene v'zeh chaser situation, based on Rav Shimon Shkop.
I agree with that philosophy.
Yeah, okay.
Don't we also have that Yehoshua was misaking a couple of things, and one of them is that a person can take a stroll through your fields.
Right. You're right. That has to be built into the original agreement, I think, of Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. But I'm
yes,
not.
Yeah, and you're sure.
Right. I'm not familiar with the.
That doesn't mean that you can't.
I don't know if you'll find that halach in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know.
That doesn't mean a person can take a stroll through your house.
Can you?
But wait, Aaron, just give me 1 second. If we go back to the case of the people living in the hotel, mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind that that's a case where there's an explicit protest on behalf of the Baal Hamalon. Meaning, to the same extent that you want to squat in my apartment, I have the right to say no, I control who goes in and out. The same thing applies to a hotel. A hotel is not some sort of, you know, free loan society, you know, called Dich V'Yesev Yechol. I'm running a hotel, meaning I have something that I want to rent out. Now you're right, in that particular case I couldn't have rented it, but there's a given protest. I don't have to, you know, every time somebody comes through the door of my hotel, I have to yell and scream at him, don't you dare dream of sleeping in one of my rooms without paying me for it. That's a given. That's written into the fiber of what a hotel is all about. And therefore, there's no question that these people who slept on the top floor of the hotel was empty. I have a right to demand payment for that night that they slept in the hotel. And again, I may want to be nice about it, work out a compromise. Maybe they brought their own linens and it was late at night. You know, they only slept for 6 hours. They got up and down for a second. So I'll give them a slash price. But that's up to me. And in the case of this Baal Tshuva, who rode the public transportation system free, I have no doubt in my mind that in the process of tshuva, he has to give back every last penny for riding the buses. Because the bus is not for free. The bus is I protest anyone getting on the bus, you know, without paying.
I don't even see how that one comes into this case, because he managed to get on the bus without paying. It's not a case where they wouldn't have charged someone else for that seat. How is that even a case of Zenon Zolo?
No, I'm assuming that, you know,
like if you hung on to the back of the bus, I could understand.
Right, right. Well, okay, interesting. That's interesting, Shaila. I didn't even think of that. But what I'm talking about is Zenon Lo Chaser, which means the bus was going to go there anyway. They didn't take up any. They didn't take any other seats. It was an empty bus, you know, and so forth and so on.
Well, why is the subway any different?
It's like a subway. I think it's like a subway.
No, he's saying, what if the subway is very crowded? You know, but I'm just saying,
if there are any extra seats, so obviously
extra seats.
No one got pushed away.
Exactly. Extra seats. So if it's an extra seat, you're going to tell me that it's Zen and of a Zolo Chaser. It's an extra seat. And already it's post facto, right? Because now I want to demand payment for what he did. The answer is, Rabbo say that has nothing to do with Kofed Al Midas Stom. Yeah. Kofed Al Midas Stom means when there was no explicit objection that was registered L'chatchila here. It's upgestendig, we say in Yiddish. It's known. It's already built into the system that this is what you pay for a seat. That's all.
I can only hear this Baal Tshuva's claim if he would only ride on buses that were not in service. They're not in service, and he managed to get on anyway. So then you could say that otherwise it doesn't come into this.
No, but you
come
could ask,
into this rubric.
No, but you could ask the question slightly differently. You could say, you know, every time I got on the bus, I put my backpack on the seat next to me. You didn't pay for that seat, but there's no cost there. You didn't do anything.
That idea.
No loss. It's the same, you know.
Getting on the bus and not paying paying for excludable good, such as cable TV, public private parks, or cinemas. You could in theory apply the principle.
Could we apply this to like?
So that's what I'm telling you. If Fiani's died, the way I understand the halacha, if in any of the cases on your list, it's crystal clear that I want to charge you. The owner wants to charge you for this. Again, it's a private park, so I don't know. You know, private parks, I don't know much about. But what was the other thing that you mentioned
movie
on your list?
Cable TV.
Movie theaters. Cable TV. This is something that, you know, I'm not what is it, Hefker, laissez-faire? This is, again, the halacha is not a socialist system. Again, the Mordechai, I don't know. You know, the Mordechai might have a different view of this.
Every one of them started with, it was something that was not standing to be rented out. And that's not the case in any of these situations.
Well, I would even say something else. If we have a chart here of there are goods that are excludable, I can, you know, say you can't use this, or and there are goods that are non-excludable, I can't really stop.
What is that word, excludable? Is that a verb? What's the shorish of the word exclude?
To exclude someone.
Okay, okay, yeah. Excludable. Yeah.
And then there are goods that are rival and non-rival. In other words, the fact that I'm using it means that you can't use it. So, you know, that makes four categories. There's private goods, common goods, club goods, public goods. Okay, right.
What are you reading from, by the way?
This is a standard economics textbook.
Oh, standard economics.
So,
but they're not dealing with the ethical issues.
Yeah, but I would say that anything that's rival, in other words, anything that the fact that you're using it means that I can't use it, like, is automatically out of the category of Minas Sedom. So the fact that, like, you're on, you know, you're using something, it means that I can't use it. No.
What if there's so much of it? What if there's like a super bajillionaire? He has so much money, he couldn't spend all of it.
Or so you just steal his car.
No, so you just take some of his money because he's not going to use it.
Zenon has a little buzzer of stealing?
I'm just saying. Why not, Rabbi?
What, that I could steal money like Robin Hood? You know,
you can use some of his money. He's not going to spend it anyways.
What?
He has enough money that he can't ever spend.
He's going to inherit it to his children.
They also can't spend it.
That's not true. Yeah. I think the number is like 90% of all super billionaires by the third generation, the money's coming.
I want to call to your attention a wonderful sefer on Choshen Mishpat by Rav Tzvi Spitz called Mishpatei HaTorah. And he also addresses that famous case I mentioned to you before, mentioned it to you twice already, about the Metayalim that enter into this hotel and they take over the top floor. And after going through, like, again, this pages and pages of literature here, he says, Chayovim, this is his final tshuva to the Shela. He says, Chayov HaMetayalim L'Shalem L'Bal HaMalon Avur HaLino, they have to pay for that. And then he says, in terms of the second question that was asked about the Baal Tshuva, Tzarech L'Shalem Mechir Malei Avur HaNesiot Shelo B'Tachpura Tziburit U'Dmei K'nisa L'Mekomot Shenichnas Aleim L'Lo Tashlum. Any place he goes in without payment, he has to pay for that. And he doesn't have an actual precise calculation of how much he owes because he doesn't know how many times he went in there. He's trying to imagine the maximum number of times he went in. That's how much he has to pay.